The reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, my rock, my redeemer. Amen. So the theme of submissiveness is continuing through chapter 5 and 6. And Sunday service, we meditated on the concept of submission from chapter 5, verse 21, which says, submit to one another in the Lord. And then it begins from wife and husband. And now today we see children submitting themselves to the parents. So Paul turns to the family relationship again, and now it is between parents and children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the righteous order of God. Obedience to parents is fundamental in any civilization as a part of preserving an orderly society. The theme of submission takes the form of obedience here. The Greek word for obedience comes from the compound word hupako. Hupako. Hupa means with or under, a genitive case, whereas akuo means to hear. In other words, this indicates that one who keeps on hearing the parents, it is a continuous action and we obey to the parents, not just one point of time. Once we are adults, oh, we are now free, we make our own decisions. No, that is not the case as far as the scriptures are concerned. This indicates there is the connection between the word submission and obedience. The word submission in Greek is hypotasso or hupotasso. Hupo, we have already seen, which is called under or with. It's a preposition. Now, tasso means to put in order or to station or consistent. So, parents are to nurture their children in the Lord. They have spiritual obligation to make sure they know the Lord right from childhood. My first point is the obedience to parents. The first family relationship is between wife and husband that we saw in the last Sunday. The second relationship is between parents and children, where children should obey to their parents and recognize their parents' authority and leadership over their lives, no matter what their age is. Well, this may be slightly difficult and also interesting to ponder upon. Let me explain and expand on this based upon the scriptures. Such obedience was demonstrated in Jesus' life. We will begin with the idea of how Jesus obeyed his own parents. At the time of Passover festival in Luke chapter 2, Jesus was at the age of 12, and his parents with him were visiting Jerusalem temple to celebrate the Passover festival. While they were going back to their town, they suddenly realized in the midst of all people, they did not find Jesus. So they frantically searched for 3 days for Jesus. When the parents found him, his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." The boy Jesus asked, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" He was very passionate in his ministry. He felt that the Lord has called him to serve him in his life. That was his goal of life. That was his call. That was his achievement. And he was called to do that. But they did not understand what he was saying. Anyway, Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was submissive to them. Luke chapter 2 verse 51. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Therefore, children's obedience to their parents is based upon the model that Jesus showed in his own earthly life. So 12 is still a minor child. How about the adults? Let me give another example. Jesus and his mother were invited to a wedding in Cana. During Jesus' adult life, he must be around 30 years old at that point. At the wedding, the wine ran out. So Mother Mary asked Jesus for help. Although Jesus initially resisted his mother's instructions, he ultimately agreed to her request. In fact, he first said, "Woman, why are you involving me? My time has not yet come." However, he still did what his mother asked and miraculously turned water into wine. This event had two purposes. First, it showed Jesus' obedience to his mother's request. Secondly, it served as a sign of his divine power to his disciples. John 2:1-11. So that is the model that Jesus has shown in his own life. The third incident, which is quite familiar, at the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, despite his severe suffering, he did not forget his mother and told his disciple John to take care of her. John 19:25-29. Even at the cross, Jesus served his mother. That was a true submission to the parent. He loved and respected her till his death. What an example as a son to his earthly parent. Hence, children, irrespective of their age, imitate Jesus in their submission to their parents in their lives. Verse 2, honor your parents. So the second part of children's obedience to their parents is honoring them. The Greek word for honor is timaio, which means respect, to set cost, to regard as high price, to provide aid or financial assistance with the implication that this is an appropriate means of showing respect or to provide for the needs of or as a sign of respect to support and honor, because that was particularly prevalent in those days. Social systems actually developed by our own understanding, depending upon how we understand the social structures. But this is not succumb to social structure, but this is the principle and this is the commandment, God's commandment, honoring parents. So Paul adds, it is the first commandment with a blessing. Exodus chapter 20, where you find all the 10 commandments, in verse 12 it says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Therefore, obedience to parents is fundamental in any civilization as a part of preserving an orderly society. Children must obey their parents in order to learn self-discipline and grow in their physical and emotional and spiritual lives. Adult children are obligated to respect and love their parents. Can parents correct their adult children? If they are making a serious mistake, it is the parents' responsibility to gently remind them of what is right or wrong in the eyes of God. This can sometimes be challenging, but perhaps parents should find the courage to speak up. I have adult children of my own, and while it's not easy, it is not impossible. It is possible with the help of God. Before I say something serious to my children, I know whether they will accept or not. I pray a lot so that they would understand without being hurt. Sometimes they may dismiss their parents' opinions or believe they belong to a different generation. But God's word is timeless, and the Lord's laws apply to every generation. Therefore, it is our responsibility to remind them what the Lord's will is. Well, in Moses' law, there is a very serious law. Moses' law is very harsh against disobedient children. It says, children who physically assault or curse their parents should be put to death. Exodus 21:15, Leviticus 20:9. Two times Paul lists disobedient children as wicked and evil. For example, in writing to Timothy, Paul said, in the last days people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2. You see in the list? It was also found in Romans chapter 1 verse 30. But in verse 3 it says obedience brings blessings. Verse 3 says that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. In the new covenant, the promise of land is not about physical land on earth, but refers to the eternal life which comes from a spiritual birth with the promise of eternal life. So children receive blessings from God. That's why it says to obey your parents in the Lord. The phrase qualifies the act of such obedience to God first. But fathers are particularly warned. Why? Paul warns the fathers that they should never provoke their children, in contrast with the mothers whose children call them blessed, according to Proverbs chapter 31:28. He warned fathers not to create resentment in their children. But why did he particularly warn the fathers? During Paul's time, both in Gentile world and in many Jewish homes, fathers typically held strict and dominating control over their families. They often disregarded the wishes and well-being of their wives and children. Therefore, Paul tells that a Christian father's authority over his children should not involve unreasonable demands, that strict rules that could make his children feel angry, helpless, and resentful. This is also found in Colossians chapter 3 verse 21. Instead, the fathers should bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It requires consistent discipline and teaching. This helps children to respect and follow the Lord's commands, which form the basis for a fulfilling and blessed life. That's why in Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6, where it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Let me tell you a story. There was a young boy named Ethan. One sunny day, his friends invited him to go on an adventure to a forbidden place. Ethan knew it was wrong, but the temptation was strong. He knew his father disapproves of it. He decided to obey and honor his father. So with heavy heart, he politely declined the invitation. Little did he know that choice would save him from danger. Years later, Ethan realized how his obedience brought blessings and kept him safe. It taught him the value of honoring his parents and walking in the path of righteousness. You know, God as a heavenly Father is also our parent. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 24 says, "The one who loves their children is careful to discipline them." You see, love and discipline is very much intricate, very much has a connection. There is love and there is also discipline. The Bible is very strict on the matter of disciplining the children. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 8 says, "If the parents do not discipline children, they are not theirs at all." The Bible also says in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 10 and 11 that God also disciplines us as a heavenly parent. This is for our good, in order that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, parents need to train their children to distinguish right from wrong in everyday life. But this training should take place within the context of a loving, caring, and forgiving relationships. Let me read this particular verse, which is very important. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 9. Moses is saying, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." You see how important God's commandments are? Therefore, parents play a crucial God-ordained role in the discipleship of their children in the Lord. Slaves and masters, verses 5 to 9. The same verse is also found in Colossians chapter 3 verses 22 to chapter 4 verse 1. In Greek and Roman societies, slaves had no legal rights and were treated as objects rather than people. They were sold and bought in the market. They were considered as property and were owned by their masters. Some slaves were captured during wars and conflicts, while others were born into slavery. They were expected to serve their masters and perform various tasks such as manual labor, household chores, and personal services. Others may have had relatively better conditions, working as domestic servants or skilled workers. However, it is important to note that even those in better circumstances were still deprived of their freedom and were subject to the authority of their owners. The Bible doesn't explicitly condemn slavery itself, but it does condemn the mistreatment of slaves. There are so many biblical verses in the Old Testament that talks about mistreating of slaves, which is deeply condemned. Paul's advice can also be applied to all the employees in the modern world. As we said, the word obey means a continuous action, willingly submitting to one's earthly master or employer, except in the cases where the command contradicts God's word. So, whatever the boss says, if it is contradictory to God's word, then you may have to take stand. There are several verses that talks about this. Acts 4:19-20, 1 Timothy 6:1, Titus 2:9-10, 1 Peter 2:18-20. We should not work only when our boss is watching or solely to please others. Instead, we should have a positive attitude and willingly serve, considering it as service to the Lord rather than to people. The phrase, "do it as to the Lord," is important here. Spurgeon, a famous preacher, also writes like this: "All our work is really done unto the Lord, not unto man. Grace makes us the servants of God, while still we are the servants of men. It enables us to do the business of heaven while we are attending to the business of earth. It sanctifies the common duties of life by showing us how to perform them in the light of heaven. Therefore, a Christian employee would work as if he was working for his heavenly master and not man." Ephesians 6:7. In Greek culture, manual work was despised, and the goal of being successful was getting to the point where you never had to do any work. Eat, drink, make merry, and tomorrow is not yours. That's their philosophy. Epicurean philosophy, we say. So, this is not how God's kingdom works. Hard work and manual labor are honorable in God's sight. This is very important as far as ethical understanding of work. So a Christian should be a hard-working person and gives his or her employer a full day's work for his pay. But doing anything less is to steal from your employer. The motivation for us to serve our earthly master comes from verse 8, where it says, "Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Whatever he is, a bondservant is free." Verse 8 it says. So Paul's teachings emphasize that as a Christian employee, you and I should not only be displayed while under observation, but should serve as faithful and loyal to the employers. Lastly, verse 9. Employers treat your employees in the same way. Show mutual honor and respect. recognizing your shared commitment to the Lord. Avoid using threats. A boss who is filled with Spirit of God exercises his authority and power with fairness and kindness. They understand that they also have a heavenly master who treats everyone impartially. In a sense, Paul's assertion suggests that slaves and masters are equal in the eyes of God. They serve one another as if they are serving their heavenly master. This idea must have been quite shocking to people living in Paul's time. While Roman law unfairly distinguished between masters and slaves, divine law does not. Paul's words in this context establish the groundwork for a new perception of human dignity, which eventually contributed to the abolition of slavery in the modern times. Let me close my sermon with a story. Marcus was a slave in Ephesus, a converted Gentile Christian. Despite his lowly position, he worked diligently and respectfully for his master Titus. Marcus saw his work as an opportunity to honor God. Titus, observing Marcus's dedication, treated him with kindness and fairness. The relationship between them transformed from master and slave to one of mutual respect and care. Others were amazed at their work ethics, realizing that in the eyes of God, both slave and master held equal value and were called to serve each other in dignity and respect. This became the talk of the town in Ephesus. The secret was they both heard the gospel while Paul was preaching in their city square. The power of the gospel transformed the ancient church of Ephesus and stood as a witnessing community for Jesus. In conclusion, the Bible teaches us about the importance of obedience and honor in our relationships, specifically between children and parents, and slaves and masters, of course in wife and husband relationships. Children are called to obey their parents, following the example of Jesus' obedience to his earthly parents. Obedience to parents is crucial for personal growth and the preservation of an orderly society. Parents, on the other hand, have the responsibility to discipline their children with love and wisdom, guiding them in the ways of the Lord. In the context of slavery, Paul advises slaves to serve their masters as if serving the Lord, while masters are instructed to treat their slaves with fairness and respect. These teachings emphasize the equality of all believers in the eyes of God and promote unity and mutual respect in relationships. Ultimately, our actions in these relationships should reflect our commitment to the Lord and His teachings. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, my Rock, my Redeemer. Amen.